Hello and welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the world of innovation, business design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazlin Esau, and today we're joined by two new expert leaders to join the Label Sessions roster, as well as Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Welcome, everyone.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing?
Hello.
Great. Thank you. Great to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. So hello and welcome to Brian White. Brian is best known for building a global supply chain for a native botanical that previously had zero commercial infrastructure. Beyond his own company, Brian serves as a venture builder and advisor to dozens of early stage founders through builders and backers. So welcome, Brian.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
Also a big welcome to Greg McCallum. Greg is best known as the No BS Advisor. He brings brutal clarity to messy commercial questions, whether it's fixing revenue plateaus, resetting go-to-market strategy, or turning a founder-led sales hustle into a functioning organization.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Marriott has acquired Citizen M. So I'm not sure if you're aware of the Citizen M brand. It's sort of a mobile digital nomad focused hotel group. So it's designed with co-working spaces and meeting rooms rather than sort of room service. It's very much co-working first, hotel second, which is very sort of the opposite of what the business hotels used to be before this type of thing. So I have two questions. My first question is, what do we feel is the future of business hotels? And then the second question is more about when, you know, chains acquire these kind of independent, these independent groups. Can you keep a challenger spirit alive after a merger and acquisition? Or does it have to be fully integrated into, you know, the mothership? And I think both of you would have very interesting takes here, as you sort of both have grown things and brought them into different things. So, Brian, let's kick off with you.
Sure. I mean, you know, I come from hotel land, so we're one of the most visited places in the world. And I quite like Citizen M's. I've stayed in several. It is frustrating to me the lack of functional co-working spaces while traveling. So I do feel like they solved for that problem in a meaningful way. If you've ever stayed in one, the rooms are tiny, like exceptionally tiny, which is not my favorite thing. But I think the bigger picture here is that it's just become very, very difficult for independent hotels to survive. You know, chains are ruling the world of hospitality. People are looking for hotels on the app, you know, through Bonvoy or Hilton. And if you're not on that map, you're not being found and your rooms aren't being booked. So I think that is definitely something to consider. Is it, in this case, probably makes a lot of sense for both sides to consolidate. And I think Marriott will be finding a new customer from Citizen M's acquisition, and Citizen M will be surviving over the long term because they're now Marriott. And it's the same thing with Marriott recently acquiring Sonder. You know, if you've stayed in a Sonder before, it's like kind of a uniform Airbnb, and those are now Bonvoy properties, which I was a big fan of. I mean, I'm a Bonvoy person, so very convenient for me to now have everything all together.
Greg, how do you feel about sort of these mergers and acquisitions of smaller independent chains with larger groups?
To be completely honest, I don't really feel much. I don't really have much of an opinion either way. I mean, Marriott can do what they want. They've got the money. They've got the sway. If they want to buy this company, then they should buy it. I mean, I don't really have much more to add other than that. I've never stayed at any of the hotels of this other company. I never even heard of them until the notes before jumping on this call. So I don't really just follow that sort of side of things, I guess. So it's just not really the space I'm in anymore. I used to be in hospitality and hospitality tech a lot more than I am now. But yeah, good for them. I mean, that's what else can I say? I mean, it good for them and probably good for the consumer too. One would hope that an organization like this is pumping their resources and their finances into a very clearly growing part of that market segment. But for me personally, from my own experience, I mean, I when I travel, I tend to book Airbnbs. I like my privacy. I like my space. And to be honest, I think 9 times out of 10, it's better value for money. And part of the reason is maybe because I don't feel like a lot of hotels are really geared up for that sort of business travel reason. It's either they're too lavish, too expensive, and there's not really the resources you need from a working perspective, or it's too boxy, too tiny, and too crappy. So it's like there's nowhere in between. So perhaps, I don't know, as maybe more of these locations open up in the UK, I might start checking them out. But unless they don't match their price point with Airbnb, I'm a bit stingy, so I'll probably just stick with that, to be honest.
And in terms of sort of challenger brand keeping the identity, we've seen it just recently with Ben & Jerry's and Unilever, and sort of Ben & Jerry's was acquired by Unilever, then they sort of felt that their values didn't align with Unilever, so they were trying to get out of Unilever. So it's just sort of a back and forth in terms of where to go and when do you sort of, what part of your identity is sacred and what part do you sort of let go when you do mergers and acquisition. And that would be sort of, for me, it would be interesting in terms of how do you stay true to your core values when you do become part of a big conglomerate. Any advice for business owners who are sort of just like they're selling their startup, they're sort of giving away everything?
Well, I mean, kind of, yeah. I mean, you know, you can't really, you know, have your cake and eat it in that scenario. I mean, if you're selling because you want, to reap the rewards of that sort of level of sale or acquisition, then there are going to be compromises. I mean, at the end of the day, that's just the way it goes. In terms of, you know, how to keep that challenger brand alive and all this kind of stuff, I mean, that's the devil's in the detail. You know, I mean, that's up to you to and your position to whether you have the leverage to dictate that in your negotiation phase. I mean, but the reality is if you're selling, then, you know, or going through an acquisition to that scale, I wouldn't really recommend complaining about these sort of things. Just get on with it, to be quite frank. And if you're concerned about selling out, then don't sell in the first place, because that is the literal definition of that term, selling out, right? So, I guess, you know, cry more, you know, that's all I have to say on it.
Plus, yeah. You know, it's right there, you know, the Citizen M, it's going to be Citizen Marriott within the year, I think.
Right, right.
Yeah. You even change it.
And look, if, yeah, I mean, look, if Marriott, there have definitely been some historical scenarios where the purchasing force has recognized the power of the brand that they're buying, and the independence of that brand as being integral to its rise and maintaining that success. And in those situations, you would just assume, for the most part, that the acquirer is intelligent enough to recognize that and usually maintain that if they believe it is the right course of action for that brand and for their organization as a whole. But then they also sometimes make the decision, rightly or wrongly, to not do that. But these are, you know, a lot of people sat in a lot of meetings making these decisions. And I think, you know, it's somewhat hubristic of us to kind of assume that maybe the four of us would know what's better or worse than these people who've been maybe doing it for a long, long time and have access to all the information. So who knows what they're going to do with it. But and you know, it doesn't mean it always works. When we've seen that historically, sometimes people have made the mistake of you know, bringing it too much into the main corporate brand. But the point I'm making is these people have you know, it's always easy to say that with the power of hindsight, but the reality is these people are far smarter than probably all of us most of the time. And you know, they would have gone through many, many months, if not years, of planning this all out and negotiating to get to that point. So, you know, who knows, right? You have to be able to fly on the wall to really know what they were thinking behind them and what's going to be coming next with this merger.
I would say too, to Greg's point, like sometimes they get it right, sometimes they don't. And I think Marriott has a pretty good track record of keeping the brands that they acquire intact. I mean, we saw it with AC, we saw it with Sonder. The quality and the voice of those flags did not change substantially after Marriott acquired them. So I think that they probably understand why guests choose to stay at Citizen M, and they want to keep those guests happy. And one big difference between something like this and something like Ben & Jerry's is that Ben & Jerry's customers are very values aligned. You know, like there's a huge social justice component. And obviously, you know, Unilever doesn't give a shit about that. So that is a huge misalignment, not necessarily from the brand, but from the customers, you know, because I think it's hard for Unilever to really even relate to that value structure that those customers have, which is why it's not necessarily working or a good fit. With Citizen M, I think the brand is largely about the experience. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be difficult for Marriott to keep that experience what it is and probably even improve upon it. So I think that it's going to ultimately be a good thing for both sides.
Love it.